Man, the key word that we've decided for this series, the Lord placed on our heart, is the word indomitable. Indomitable. Say indomitable. The word defined by Cambridge Dictionary is of a person strong, brave, and impossible to defeat. Yeah. Strong, brave, and impossible to defeat. Or, I like this part, impossible to make frightened. Yeah. Impossible to defeat, impossible to make frightened, an indomitable spirit or will. The reason I wanted to do that message, first of all, is what the Lord placed on my heart, but I believe the importance of it is in the timing of life, in the timing of the church age. Because in all, sometimes good things can turn bad in the world. You know what I mean? Good intentions. One of those intentions that I think that went the wrong way, in my opinion, you could disagree with this, is this whole idea of trying to protect people and their feelings. In an effort to someone that gets bullied and the danger of being bullied, we understand, is wrong. It should not happen. But in an effort to protect children on the playground or children on the internet or whatever, and the severity of being cruelly bullied, systems have been set in place. But I think the systems have gone so far that to be what we call today politically correct or PC, that all of a sudden people have developed where they are so overly sensitive that any disagreement kind of rocks their world. That if someone disagrees with your ideology or your thinking or your process, all of a sudden it becomes a major deal. Years ago, you could be friends with somebody that you disagreed with on topics. Yep. But in some circles, it's almost one is going to be evil if they disagreed with you. It doesn't have to be the case. Yep. And I think what has happened is it's weakened people within themselves, their resolve, their strength within themselves. I'm not for being bullied. I'm not saying that at all. But there's a pendulum swing to everything. And now people are so sensitive, if they're not careful, that any challenge, any risk becomes overly stressful and frightening to them. And that's crept into the church world. We can sing kumbaya all we want and put bumper stickers on our back windows saying, let's all coexist and get along. But it doesn't work that way. That's not the way it works. When one group denies the right to exist for the other group, it doesn't work that way. The enemy's not trying to play fair, my friend. The enemy's not trying to get people to agree and get along. The enemy's trying to get people to put down their defense so he can come in to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. Right. And we can sit back quietly and say, we'll just stay with our few and our four, and we'll not anymore, and we're safe and we're comfortable, and isn't it good as we watch people being attacked and say, oh, I'm glad I'm not them. That's like being in a boat and you're sitting on the dry side, but on the other end, there's a hole and water's getting in, and you look at them as they're trying to bail water and say, I'm sure glad it's not me. But history's proven to us that if they go for others and we sit quietly by, one day they'll be coming for you. But that's the natural side, but there's also a spiritual dynamic that happens. We can sit quietly by and say, why is schools the way schools are? But if we take God out of it and we don't do anything about it, what do we have a right to voice our opinions? We could say, oh, we need to see a change. Those politicians are all evil, but if we don't get involved and run for something and make a difference, what right do we have to have an opinion? And besides the natural, we have the spiritual, because we know that our weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That we're not called to fight after people, but there is a spiritual thing going on behind the scenes that you might not see in the natural eye. But the devil will use natural people to try to create issues to intimidate you. And the devil's tactic is to try to intimidate every Christian from being what God's called you to be, or to do what God's called you to do, or to have what God's called you to have. The Bible tells us, and challenge everything I say with the word of God. But the Bible tells us that the promises of God are yea and amen, which means in the King James it says yea and amen, but the better translation would be that the promises of God to you, child of God, all the promises that God has given in his New Testament under the canopy of the blood of Jesus, the covenant, that to you that they are approved and so be it. That means completed. You don't have to say, God, I need you to do. He's already done. You don't have to pray, Lord, I need you to do it. He's already done. I know in some circles they'll ask you to keep begging and say, just keep begging. No, under the old covenant, that might be under the new covenant, but God has already completed the work. And that's why the Bible says that all good and perfect gifts have come down from the Father of lights. The Bible tells us that if he would not withhold his son, what promise would he withhold from you? It all belongs to you. It all belongs. It's already done. Say, it's already done. And so we receive it through faith and patience. Hebrews 6:12 and Hebrews 11:33 tells us. But on the journey to the promised land, and stay with me, because if you're missing something from that belongs to you, it doesn't mean that you're bad. It just means you're human. Because your promised land that you're maybe walking toward, it might be a promised land of healing. The journey of your life right now to a promise from heaven might not be healing. It might be financial blessing. It might not be a financial blessing. You might be financially secure, but you need peace in your home. Whatever the promises of God that you're moving toward, there is a process, faith and patience. That means you have to obey and you have to keep going. The reason I bring that up is because the devil, if he can't stop you, he will try to derail you, Matthew 13 tells us, sidetrack you. But one of the things is he tries to stop you, pressure you from doing what God wants you to do. And if we adopt and adapt to what society says, Romans 12:2 tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But if we do it the way the world does it, the first sign of pressure will be our indication that we should stop and get quiet and go back to where we belong. My question to you is, when people or the pressure or the devil that whispers in your ear, you need to go back to where you belong, who said that you belong back there? Who said that you belong in that place? Who said that you have to accept and embrace at the level or the quality or the standard that you've lived at? Who said that you can't have more than enough? Who said that you can't be happy and full of joy and peace? Who said that your God is too weak to deal with the problem in hand? Well, if God wanted me to do it, he would have done it already, and I prayed and asked that he didn't change it. It doesn't work that way. Look to your neighbor and say, it doesn't work that way. I'm trying to get to my verses, but we're just going to warm some people up, because a lot of times if we're in the church world too long, sometimes we get some weird teaching. And if you think every teaching in every church is right, then you're wrong. Jesus told the disciples, beware of the teaching, what he called the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. It was their teaching, because the wrong teaching can mess you up. The wrong teaching can hold you back. The wrong teaching can keep you out of what belongs to you. Did you hear me? Oh, I feel something there. I got to stay right there for a little bit. The wrong teacher will tell you that you just need to be happy with what you're at, where you're at, and don't even try for any more. And if God wanted you to go to the next level, he would have made it happen. I'm telling you, that's a lie of the devil. You want to know your destination, you find it from the truth of the Word of God and not the history of your family. You don't check your check. You don't look at your checking account to tell you if you're going to be blessed or not. You look at the Word of God to tell you if you deserve to be blessed of God. You walk out the process. What's taking so long? Well, that's what we're talking about. You have to be indomitable in spirit and will, that you refuse to give up. You refuse to bend your knee. You refuse to get quiet. You refuse. You gotta look through history and be thankful for the men and women in the natural who refused when all pressure told them to go to the back of the bus, and they said, who said I have to sit there? I'll sit where I want. God has given you a choice and a will to rise up and have what he's called you to have. See, I'm believing we're raising up an army of Christians that are just not satisfied. Well, I went to church occasionally. I'm a good person. No, that are people that are hungry for the things of God, hungry for the presence of God, hungry for the glory of God, hungry for the will of God, hungry for the destiny of God. And you begin to look like David did, that who protected his father's sheep. And God said, listen, if he'll fight a lion and a bear to protect the few sheep of his father, what will he do with my sheep? And you begin to rise up and say, wait a minute, I don't want to be blessed just for a nice car. And God doesn't mind you having nice cars. But if your epitome of a goal is to get into a better zip code or better car, you're missing out. God wants to bless you to make you such a blessing that the enemy can't stop the voice of what's coming out of your heart and your mouth, because all of a sudden you're feeding people and helping people. If your job career is only to be validated amongst the people, you'll die on the battlefield. David was tempted and tested with that because the king said, listen, take my armor. It's the only armor in the battle because everybody else couldn't have armor. It was under the agreement they had with the Philistines that only the king could have a sword. And only the king had. And if David would have walked out with the armor of Saul, he would have looked royal. He would have looked like a king. He would have been affirmed by his friends. He would have been validated by his enemies. He would have shown his brothers, you mocked me, look at me now. But David wasn't looking to get validation from a brother who didn't like him. He was following the obedience of a father who had already approved of him. And he said, listen, giant, you have come against me with sword and shield, but you've come against the armies of the living God. And this day he will put you in my hands, because he knew that God was not saving him with a shield. God was not saving him with a sword. God was delivering him by his hand. You'll begin to look at life differently. Oh, I don't need too much. Well, add a zero and look at all the people we can feed. Look at the churches we can start. See, when you get so hungry for the destiny of God, you want to make a difference. You move beyond your comfort zone. Not for you, but for the kingdom. Not for you, but to make a difference. Not for you, but to be a big time producer in the kingdom of God for the glory of God. Did you hear me? We do a lot of outreach in the community, and we love people, and it's good to love people. But we're not a welfare church. We're not going to enable you to stay there. We're going to keep teaching you the word. Because Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. And we keep planting Matthew 13. We keep sowing that seed. Because I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to get a hold of it one day in your heart and bring understanding. And like the prodigal son, you wake up to yourself and say, wait a minute, why am I accepting this level of life when I am connected to my Father who can provide a greater level of life? Hallelujah! Indomitable. Well, Pastor, where is that in the Bible? Good question. Challenge everything. Where is that in the Bible? Let me give you one of many verses. This is out of Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19, Amplified. It says, the Lord God is your strength, your source of courage, your invincible army. He has made your feet steady and sure. Come on, you just do this with your feet on the ground right now. Come on, do that. Just stomp your feet down. See, at the old location, I would hear that because we were on the second floor. Here it said, you can jump all you want. Nothing's going to rock. Nothing's going to move. Nothing's going to... He has made your feet steady and sure like hinds feet and makes you walk forward with spiritual confidence on high places of challenge and responsibility. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have a different temperament that you were born with. If you're a soft-spoken, quiet person, I don't want you to be loud. And if you're a loud person, I don't want you to try to act soft-spoken. It's amazing how we have made things spiritual that are not spiritual at all. Right. Maybe you had a mentor or a spiritual leader, and they were soft-spoken. And so all of a sudden you think that if I'm going to be spiritual, I have to just talk like they talk. Just above a whisper. Squint my eyes a lot. No, that's not spirituality. Right. That's the practical side of people you're imitating. That doesn't produce. That doesn't produce. You know what produces? The word of God, the anointing of God. And that's what gives glory to your Father. The Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 7, 8, 16. And this gives glory to your Father that you produce much fruit, the Bible says. Much fruit. God doesn't want you to hide. God doesn't want you to run away. God wants you to rise up, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. And shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. God wants you to make a difference. Find me someone struggling, and I'll show you someone who's all about, just make me feel warm and fuzzy. You'll feel warm and fuzzy tomorrow, today. Let's kick the devil's teeth in and rescue people and see people get saved. And see, come on, church, you can do better than that. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. In earlier part of this verse, and read the whole chapter in your own time if you would, it's talking about the disciples were expecting the kingdom of God to come immediately. So Jesus gave them this story. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. My friend, Jesus is going to return one day. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. This is not the parable of the talents, although there's a lot of similarities here. This is in the King James translation, refers to pounds, which is still money. And each person received the same amount. Some theologians believe that this isn't a reference to faith, because everybody who's saved has received the same measure of faith. And what you do with that level of faith in hearing more of the word and exercising it will cause it to grow and accomplish things. And he called the 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, and here's my emphasis, because I don't want to talk about the servants that took the 1 pound and made it 10 and were greatly rewarded, or the one servant who took the 1 pound and kept it, hid it in a napkin and said, I didn't want to lose it, and he was punished and lost what he had. That's not my emphasis. My emphasis out of this parable of this text is a short phrase. And it says that he called the 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, if you see it on a screen, if you see it in your Bible, what does that phrase say? Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Occupy until I come. I want to present to you an idea, because you could look at that differently, but as we look at the context of Scripture, what Jesus was saying in that story, which he is saying to us in our lives, he did not call us to occupy as far as build a hole or dig a hole, put a little house on it, hide in there, and wait it out. That's not what he called you to do. He called you to occupy. To occupy another country means you have to come into it. And you have to come into it, and you have to invade and destroy their forces that would try to prevent you. Come on, somebody. We got to talk military. Some of you have been too much kumbaya. Let's all get a warm and fuzzy. And I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is a powerful kingdom. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. I'm talking about you are part of not only the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, you are part of the army of the living God. Amen. If you're faint at heart and you tend to be a sissy, God love you, we'll pray for you, and you stick around long enough. I promise you, we're not going to change your personality or if you're soft-spoken, but we're believing through the power of the Word of God and the anointing that the spirit part of you will get so strong in the Lord and in the power of His might that the next opposition you face, you'll begin to look and say, I just found out where the devil's at. Hallelujah. And if the devil's there, that means he's got territory I can occupy. And if he's got territory I can occupy, Jesus said, a strong man is secure in all his deeds and all his goods is safe until a stronger than he shows up. Are you listening to me? We are in this world, but we're not of this world. God has done something amazing. The Bible tells us that not only we talk about seed, and many people think of seed of money, and that is one principle in the Word of God. The Bible also talks about us being seed planted from heaven into this earth. Why? To bring the kingdom of God, to bring the will of God, to bring the order of God into our world. Jesus told the disciples, part of the prayer was, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe I'm talking to people who are tired of letting the circumstance define the will of God and begin to look at the circumstances and say, I see what you're doing and I know where you're at, but let me tell you, that's not the end of the story. That's not the last chapter. The credits have not run in the movie. Let me tell you how it's going to play out. Let me tell you how it's going to end. Let me tell you what I'm going to do, and begin to bring the will of God, the promise of God, the truth of God. The devil might be telling you, your kids are gone and never will come back and they'll never be saved and they're going to split hell wide open. But if all of a sudden, instead of crying about it, oh God, why are my kids going to hell? Something on the inside of you will be to begin to rise up on the inside. It's not you. It's the anointing. It's the Word of God. You're going toe to toe with the devil who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And you can say, wait a minute, devil, who told you had that right? Oh, the doctor's going to call next week, and the report's going to be bad. And he's got your imagination planning your own funeral. But all of a sudden, something stirs on the inside of you, and the Word of God rises up, and you begin to say, I will not die, but I will declare the works of the Lord. All of a sudden, 1 Peter 2:24 rises up. It says, by his stripes I was healed. All of a sudden, Exodus rises. He is the God who healeth you. Exodus 15:26. What's happening? The boldness of the Word of God. The strength of the Word of God. I'm tired of us not teaching the truth in a way that can be touched. Most people just teach me a little bit of truth because, you know, you continue my word. Jesus said, and you'll be my disciples indeed, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But it didn't stop at the teaching of the truth.
Right.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
It didn't stop with the lesson or the teaching, because the goal is not for you just to be taught truth. The goal is for you to touch the truth. The goal is for you to touch and handle the truth. John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh, and it keeps on, goes on, saying, and we have handled that Word. We have handled it. We have touched it. We know it's real. Because what God started in the realm of the Spirit, he made happen in my physical life. You can say you're blessed and hear a teaching on prosperity and the blessings from heaven. But if you can't spend it, you're not there yet. You're in the promised land when you can write a check. Oh, you got quiet there. It's one thing to talk about healing. So I believe, I receive, I'm healed. Praise God, you're in the journey. But you're in the promised land when you can eat the fruit of the promised land. When the doctor says, I don't know what to tell you. I have a report here that says that there's a tumor. I have a report here that says it's gone. I don't know what to tell you. That's what we're going for. That's what we're going for. That's what we're moving toward. That's the direction we're moving. That's the journey. I'm not trying to convince people about my destiny. They'll be convinced of my destiny when they see the fruit of it. Some of you got to quit trying to talk people into what God is saying to you. If they don't believe it, shake the dust off your feet and move on. The promises of God are not fulfilled if you get everybody to like you and agree with you. The promises of God, it's not like, well, if I can get enough people to agree and see it the way I'm seeing it, then it'll happen. No, it won't, because they might be irrelevant to your destiny. You got to get to the place like Abraham, Romans 4, who was fully persuaded that the God, he did not consider his own body now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise, if you get a word from God, how do you begin to touch the truth? Let the truth touch you, and you get a hold of it and say, they might not agree with me, but if all be against me, if everyone turns on me, I'll still follow you, because if everyone's against me, I still have him. You see what I'm saying? In fact, I'll be so bold to tell you, some of you are holding up your own journey of victory because you're trying to get people to agree with you. But they don't agree. They're telling me I'm wrong. They're telling me it won't happen. Let them tell it, because the Bible says that he will prepare a table for you before your enemies. If they all when all the enemies disappear, that should be your first red flag, something not right. Some of you are waiting for everybody to agree with you. I'm waiting to make sure I still have some enemies around. Not because I picked a start a fight, but because I'm moving toward destiny. And there's people who are hanging on you, trying to keep you back in the comfort zone of your past. But you begin to step out and say, that's not where God's taking me. I love you. I'm not dogging you. I'm not diminishing you. And what you want to do, that's your choice. But I got to do what God's called me to do. I got to take a step. I got to walk on some water. I got to feed some hungry. I got to help some people. I got eternity on my mind. And most of the people that rise up against you like that, it's not because they're bad people. They're just comfortable. And when you begin to shine brighter, it makes them aware of what they're refusing to pay the price for. Occupy. 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 Matthew 16, 18. Let me jump around in my verses here. Matthew 16, 18. And I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. See this whole, the context. Let me back up a little bit for your own and study this out. Jesus showed up and said, who do men say that I am? He was not having a crisis of personal image. Oh, I'm just not too sure if I'm on the right path. He was young and knew who his father was in the business of the father.
That's right.
And he said, who do men say that I am? Oh, some say this, some say that. Who do you say that I am? Let's zero this down. Because some of us, we can tell what other people are saying, but we have no revelation ourselves. We can tell what other people know and are teaching. Listen, my friend, are you listening? You listening? I am so glad you're here. But if you don't, and the reason I tell you to challenge, and I challenge you to challenge it, because if all you know is what you're hearing from the revelation of me or others, then you are not at the level of pulling this thing out like a sword and going to battle with it. Because you have to have the revelation for yourself. Then it becomes yours. Deuteronomy 29, 29. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to you. If it's not revealed, it's not yours yet. Well, pastor said, it don't matter what pastor said. You have to get the verse revealed to you. Did you hear me? Secondary information will never get you where you need to be. There's too many Christians thinking they've done something good because they know somebody who knows somebody. And you might be 7 degrees away from Kevin Bacon, but at the end of the day, you better be just you and Jesus when it comes to the battles of life. You don't need any degree separation. We don't want to be like Israel who told Moses, we don't want to experience God. You go to the top and tell us what he says. No, you have to come for yourself. God has no grandchildren.
Right.
Who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up and said, you're the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One. And Jesus said, Simon, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. That means people. You didn't get that idea from people. You got that from heaven.
Yeah.
But that was revealed to you from my Father. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to change your name. Oh, that means identity. That means placement. That means direction. See, when you get a revelation, all of a sudden, things begin to change in your perspective. You'll see yourself different. You won't see yourself sick trying to get healed. You'll see yourself as the healed of the Lord, defeating the enemy of sickness, trying to steal, kill, and destroy. You won't see yourself as poor and broken. No, you'll see yourself that you are blessed. People are like, I don't know what job you got, but boy, you sure acting like you got a lot of money. You already know that the money belongs to you, and you're bringing it into your hands by faith.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to talk to some of you over here, because the rest of you, y'all can stay where you're at. It begins to change your identity. And Jesus went on to say, now notice this, he changed his name, and then he said, listen, upon this rock, which means the revelation. Some people take it that Jesus was giving Peter control of the church. That's not what was happening. Upon this revelation, what's the revelation? Who Christ is to you. Personal experience. Who is Christ to you? Who is Jesus? It's just not his last name. That's not his last name. It's the anointed one and his anointing. Who is Christ to you? Upon that rock, upon that revelation, I will build my
church.
Oh, you guys are sounding great. Upon that rock, I will build what?
Church.
My church. His church, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail.
That's right.
Now, different people can interpret differently, and if you look at all the different translations, you can see a little mixture of both. Let me throw something. I'll say it this way. This is my perspective. You could disagree with it. You're welcome to. But when you look at cities and battles, the gate is the last line of defense.
Right.
They don't throw gates at people. Gates are trying to keep the enemy out.
Right.
See my point? The gates are designed to keep the bad people out and to protect you of your assets.
Right.
And so when there was an enemy, they would send the army, or the military, if you will, out to meet the enemy, because the last thing you want to do is fight the enemy outside your gates, or even worse, inside your gates.
Right.
And so they would send the military out to meet the enemy before they got there. And they would begin to wage war with them. And so if you are sending your army out there and they're gone, you don't see them, they're fighting. But all of a sudden, oh, look, here they come back. And someone on the tower says, wait a minute, that's not our flag. That's not our military. That's not our army. Do you know what they know? that their army has failed and has been defeated.
Right.
Stay with me, church. The very fact that the enemy is coming to their gates, they know something. We have a lot of problems because they've just defeated our best and our baddest.
Yeah.
I'm going somewhere. Because Jesus, again, I quoted this earlier, Jesus said when he cast out a demon, they said, you did this by the power of Beelzebub. But he said, no, and he gives them a whole teaching. He said, listen, a strong man, referring to the spiritual forces, is secure within his possessions until a stronger than he shows up. Now, we know that on the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, he not only took our sins so that we could be forgiven. Am I going too deep? Are you guys okay with me? But he also went into hell and took from the devil the keys of death, hell, and grave, right? So he defeated him in the realm of the spirit. The natural dimension has not been finalized yet because that's under what I like to call a lease that God gave to Adam or humanity, who gave it to the devil. And only the Father knows, Matthew 24, when the end of the lease is coming up. And at the end of the lease, God's going to bring everything together. Are you with me? But the spiritual side, you know, enough. God said, enough's enough. I'm sending my son. He's going to pay for the price of sin and he's going to empower. That's why Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now you go in my name. Why? Because he's empowered you in the realm of the spirit to have dominion. Stay with me. So the enemy thought he was safe and good. And so when you begin to rise up, he'll try to send somebody down to your path before you get to your promised land, before you get close to your destination. And because he thinks, oh, we'll just send somebody out. I'll send somebody to discourage them. I'll send somebody to cut them off. That always gets them every time on a highway. They'll spend 3 days crying over that, mad and angry, and that'll make them do crazy. Oh, I'll send this obstacle their way. And if we're not careful, we'll allow that stuff to defeat us, and then we never make any progress. But when you begin to rise up in who you're called to be and keep moving forward, when the devil sees you coming, the gates of hell, where he's holding back what belongs to you, when he sees you approaching, he already knows that you know something, that you've already defeated his best. Why? Because it's not you defeating it. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That all of a sudden you are walking in the authority, what Jesus paid the price, and you're walking out and say, devil, here I come, and you're already defeated. You threw your best and Jesus defeated him and made show of him openly, triumphing in it, the Bible tells us. And all of a sudden when you show up, the very fact that you showed up is making the devil nervous. And Jesus said, upon the truth of the anointing, upon the truth of who I am, upon the personal revelation, even the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Yeah. Occupy, 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 occupy. God never told you to retreat. He's always told you to move forward. The armor of God does not have a backside to protect. It only has a forward side to move forward. It's a walk of the Spirit. It's a fight of faith. It's a battle that you must move forward with confidence. And if you are not confident in the things of God, you'll not move forward in it. Because it's moving forward. It's moving forward. Say forward. If you do not have an indomitable spirit, when tension comes up, opposition comes up, distractions come up, some of you can't even hear what I'm saying because you're distracted by somebody being blessed of the Lord. And you tell me why you can't get into victory. I'm telling you why. Your focus is too easily distracted. One commercial, you forgot. You have to be able to stand. Oh, I'm feeling a little ache. I don't know if I can do it. You're distracted by a discomfort. You're distracted by something different. You're distracted by, don't be distracted. Get so focused that hell or high water. You got your eye on the prize and you're moving toward destiny. This is not for the weak at heart, but this is for people who want to reach the destiny that God has for them. The devil doesn't want you. Pull it down a little bit, Bill. The devil doesn't want you. The devil, it doesn't mind you just showing up and crawling in late and leaving early and just trying to maintain a happy, normal life. He's fine with that. But when you begin to rise up and say, wait a minute, I'm called to make a difference. Lord, I'm opening my day to you. If you want me to speak in someone's life, show me. If you want me to help somebody, show me. If you want me to do something, show me. All of a sudden, you are a weapon in the arm, the hand of the Holy Spirit. Lord, whatever you want me to do, you create the opportunity. I'm not going to be weird about it. I'm not going to be flaky about it. I'm going to be available to be used by you anytime, any place, not just on Sunday, but any day. You go out into the highway and byways, the devil's scared of that. You don't need an organ player play. You could just say, let me pray with you real quick and see God do the impossible. But the devil's so big. He looks so big. That's because that's all you focus on. But you ought to get excited that he's so big. That means he's hiding something more important. You don't send little minions out for big stuff. The devil will try to intimidate you. The devil never whispered in your ear, oh, it's not going to happen. You'll never make it. If God wanted it, it had already been done. Says who? Stick to the promise of the truth of his word. Stick to the truth of the promise of his word. Last verse, Hebrews 12:1. Let us run with patience the race that is set before you. Let us run, not retreat, run, move forward, progress, forward motion. I learned in chess years ago that even if it looks like that you have to retreat, you're not retreating, you always move with an offensive mentality. You always reposition in a place of offensive strategy. You always do what God shows you to do. You move with the race set before you. The race set before you. How strong is your focus? The race set before you. Run the race set before you. Run the race set before you. Quit trying to create it. Let God show you. And run. Let's move forward. In my own time this week, this phrase came into my spirit. And that is to begin to charge the wall of impossibility. I pray an anointing on your life that you begin to rise up and begin to charge, not walk to, not skip to, you begin to run, not run away from, run to. The walls of impossibility, what the enemy told you you could not do, cannot get, you never become, never have. All of a sudden, the word of God says true, it's true. You can have it. You begin to rise up and run like a bull running. A bull's not running for empty space. He's looking what he can knock over. He begins to look for something that looks and appears to be solid to everybody else. But to him, it's no big deal because he's stronger than the opposition. He's stronger. You're stronger. You're stronger. Did you hear me? In the name of Jesus, you're stronger because of the anointing of God on the inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater, 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 greater. Run the race. Run the race. Run the race. Run the race. Okay, now watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Are you watching me? I'm gonna bring some order here, watch this. Security, escort her back to the back and let her be blessed by the Lord in her own space. Okay, now she's a sweet person, but can I teach you something? Just escort her out, just go on, she's fine. Just escort her out. Here's how you know when something's of God and something's not of God. Are you ready? Because if something's of the Spirit, it will elevate the whole atmosphere of the room. So your focus is on Jesus. If it's not of God, and maybe she's sincere, but sincerely wrong. If it's not of God, it draws people's attention away from the Lord to the individual. And a lot of people are into wanting their attention to be seen. And that's okay. They just need prayer. So we're going to pray for it, and they're going to walk her out. So see, sit quietly, because I'm not going to mess with the devil. Did you hear me? I'm not here to be distracted by the enemy. What has to be said is too important. You say, oh, don't be real. I'm like, no, no, no. We're nice to people, but we're strong with the enemy. You say, oh, I can't believe it. I'm not worried about that. Listen, there must be something very good being said if the devil's trying that hard to distract your attention from the truth of the Word of God. Amen. 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 Say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Say, I'm strong. I'm indomitable. Now, that might feel great right now, but in the battles of life, you're going to find in the tensions of life, in the pressures of life, don't look to feelings. Because if you notice feelings, the opposition, your emotions don't go, yay. Your emotions will be like, oh. That's why this has to be a real thing inside your spirit person. Has to be a real thing inside your inside. Now, I was going to close, but I'm going to go longer just to spit in the devil's face. Yeah. Romans chapter 8. They probably won't have this on the screen because it wasn't even on our list for them. Romans chapter 8. You maybe have heard this. It says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, for years, I always read that as, and people will preach the side of this, and I believe it's a misunderstanding, but it's between you and Jesus. Oh, we're just suffering on this side. And the pressures, all the suffering on this side, it's not going to compare to the glory when we get to heaven. Well, that's true. That's true. But if you read the whole chapter in context, you'll see stuff like in verse 28, and the Bible talks throughout the whole thing that, no, in all these things we're more than conquerors. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Yes. Creation groans and waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Yes. Here's what I believe it's saying. That the opposition that some people are afraid of, the winds of doctrine, someone talking bad about you, someone not giving you a thumbs up on your post, they used to like my post. I'm not getting the likes and the shares like I used to. Jesus, oh Jesus, I'm suffering. Come on. Right? That the challenges of opposition against you, listen to me, that they can't even be compared. The glory is the manifested presence of God in your life. The manifested presence of God. So you can say it this way, that the opposition against you cannot compare to the glory that's getting ready to show up in the situation. It includes heaven too, but you can have it on earth now. The glory of the manifestation of His power, His presence. So the suffering, the opposition, it's not it's when the enemy, you're trying to go somewhere and the enemy is trying to keep you out, and the pressure, the mental pressure, the physical, whatever it might be, who's trying to keep you out, all of a sudden you realize that it might seem severe, but if that seems severe, how much greater, here comes the glory. How much greater, here comes His power. How much greater, here comes His presence. If the opposition's great, guess what? Because the enemy's not greater than God. The enemy's not greater than God. And when you start feeling, oh, it's overwhelming, you ought to stand back and say, the pressure feels overwhelming. How much more? How much more? How much greater will the light be over the darkness? How much greater is His light over the darkness? John 1 says that the darkness can't comprehend the light, which means it can't hold it back. How much greater? How much greater? How much greater? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. And when you begin to feel overwhelmed and you want to quit, go back to that verse and say, wait a minute. It feels severe, but there's something stronger and greater and more powerful than the opposition. It's the God that I serve who's on the inside of you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Get the Word. Get the Word. We'll get in more than that in this series. Get in the Word and watch how you will rise up in the power that things of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Shh. I want the devil so scared when you wake up in the morning. I want when you walk through life, all of a sudden you see an opportunity and everybody else is running from it. You're like, why are you all running? Get behind me if you want. I'll take care of this one. Get behind. I'll handle this one. That's what David said. You said, that's a little cocky. Talk to David. He walked into the tent of the king and said, King, don't worry. Your servant David will handle this giant for you. I got this. I got this. Why? Because God had his back. And this is not you just coming up and charging everything. Well, Pastor, it didn't work. You know, I went out and if God didn't tell you to do it, you have to run in the alignment of his truth. Run in the alignment of his word that you have experienced revelation from for yourself. Well, someone's a prophet, and they told me, and I believe in prophets, but if it's not a confirmation and it's not a revelation from the word of God, you need to leave it alone, because that prophet just maybe ate too much pizza last night and has got you doing some wacky things, and you're going to blame God and prophets. And it wasn't God and prophets, it was people. Do not let people deter you from destiny. Do not let anything distract you from destiny. If you need to learn something, keep learning, keep growing. We'll get into that later. But you get that focus, you are indomitable. If God said we're going to the other side, we are going to the other side. Fully persuaded. Romans 4. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Any opposition to your forward movement cannot be compared. Kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent, one translation says, violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. I got a hold of something. I got a hold of the word of God. I'm not going to let it go. Bow your head and close your eyes. If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you today in a way that you know for yourself that he's real and your Lord and Savior? Only you can answer that. If not, you can. You can be saved. You can be forgiven. You can experience him in a real, personal way. You might be sitting here saying, well, I'm an atheist or I'm an agnostic. I'm glad. That's awesome. Because that means that you don't buy into something because people say it or pressure moves you. But you are real to the situation, and you are just one experience away from experiencing God for yourself. Because once an atheist experiences Jesus for himself, there's no questions. He's changed forever. That's what we're talking about. I'm tired of this games that happens in the church world too much. We're not into the rules created by men that make people jump through hoops that produce no fruit. We're talking about the truth of the Word of God that makes a person's life different. So pray this prayer with me if you don't know him and want to. Tonight when you lay your head on your pillow, you can know that your heart's right, your sins are forgiven, and God loves you so much. Pray this prayer. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Before we close, let me speak a blessing over you that comes out of number.